Pass in first reading.
All right, good morning, everyone. Let me get my... There we go. Yeah, once again, good morning. Thank you all. I'm so glad you're all here this morning. Thank you for that children's story, Miss Bobby, for having us on that connected with ministry for this summer. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm on a roll with what do you call them? Typos in the bulletin. The opening, what do you call it? Sorry, the call to worship was wrong. The title of the sermon is Meditations of the Heart. And so when I see these things, I go back and look at my email, and sure enough, there's two wrong things. So it should have been Psalm 119:14 for our call to worship, but our scripture reading was correct, but the sermon title is Meditations of the Heart. And so just a clarification there. But once again, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for being here. So delighted to be with you all this morning. I want to give a special welcome. I have some family here today from Michigan, and Henry and Candy Mayhew. Henry, could you maybe wave a little bit? You've probably heard him. I forgot how well Henry sings, so you've probably heard him today. He's an excellent singer, and we didn't have a special music, and I wish I had put all that together in my brain when he called me last week, because I would have loved to have heard him sing. But anyway, super thankful for them. You guys, unbeknownst to you, you've heard stories about them in sermons. Like that little boy who did the wrong thing. You remember my skiing accident? It was Henry that told me, don't go on any black diamonds by yourself. And Henry used to take me skiing up in northern Michigan. And so my disobedience, thankfully, I didn't get hurt. And thankfully, Lance Jones, they're here so that I can use his name. He didn't get hurt either when I was when I was leading him down wrong paths, and he didn't get hurt, and I wiped out. But they're a huge part of my testimony. They're also, if you remember my testimonial story, I went to a... I didn't think this was going to happen. Sorry. If you remember, part of my testimony is going to a summer camp, and I don't know why this is happening. Sorry, I can tell my testimony, but they're here, so, and I haven't seen them for a long time. But I'm a Christian today because of them. And so I'm eternally grateful to God for them. So I'm so thankful that they're here. Okay, let's let me get my bearings again. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Special thank you to Henry and Candy for making the trip. All right. Meditations of the Heart. All right, let's have a prayer together, and then we will get into our sermon. Kind Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this day. We're thankful for just for your presence. We're thankful for your spirit. And just please guide our study and our sermon
this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right. Have you ever heard, I'm going to start a phrase for you, and you can repeat it or you can finish the phrase and tell me if you've ever heard it, but maybe growing up you might have heard a phrase, sticks and stones may, but words will never hurt me, right? We've all heard that before. We grew up hearing it, or at least I did. And the idea, I think, behind it was to teach us resilience, right? There's always going to be bullies in the world that are going to say things about you or to you. And it teaches us, you know, hey, to try to put up a barrier against words and not to let the opinions of other people hurt us. But we all know today that words do hurt, don't they? Words hurt us. When somebody says something directly negative to you about you, maybe it's about something you can't even control, your appearance or something like that, it's a hurtful thing. Or if you find out that there's some sort of slanderous gossip going on about you that isn't true, it's a hurtful thing. So we know that words do actually hurt. And Scripture tells us that Jesus tells us, if you recall in the Sermon on the Mount, he told us not to lash out or strike back against people who persecute us or say all manner of evil against us. He said to bless them. Do you remember that? He said, bless and do not curse. You can recall also the story of Abraham. God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So words, they have meaning, they have an impact, and Jesus told us not to use negative words to curse somebody else or say anything evil about them. I did a little search on what does it mean to bless someone, because the Bible tells us to bless other people, even those who are mean to us and spitefully, you know, use us, mistreat us, say all manner of evil against us. And so the idea behind a blessing is we're invoking God's grace. We're asking God to watch over someone. We can think of a blessing of consecration in our own family, speaking well, speaking good words about somebody else, right? So not bringing curses down, but speaking good words about another person, using our words in a good way. So blessing of expressing gratitude, that sort of thing. Because words have meaning. They do affect people. The Bible tells us actually to carefully guard our words, and the Bible tells us even to guard our thoughts. As Jeff was sharing in the scripture reading in 2 Corinthians, taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. I've given a sermon on this, and I'm trying to not go directly. It's been a couple years, so perhaps you don't remember, maybe you weren't even here. But I'm kind of paralleling an idea that I was discussing a couple of years ago. And every word, every word, it begins, or every word, every action first begins as a thought, right? It begins as a thought in our mind, and we either act on the thought or we speak the word. Some of us, like myself, I talk before I think many times. So then I have to go back and say, I really wish I hadn't have said that in the moment I spoke without thinking. Spoke before I thought, rather. But in general, thoughts or words begin as thoughts in general. Scripture puts a lot of weight into the things that we say and the things that we do to others, even the thoughts that we think about ourselves. Jesus said that, you know, even thinking lustful thoughts is a sin.
Jesus said, even hating somebody is a sin. It's an equivalent of murder. The Bible illustrates that gossip and slander is equivalent of murder. So our thoughts and our words have meaning. They do hurt ourselves and they hurt other people. Words do affect us. And I was thinking back on, you remember that opening phrase that I came up, that I started with, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I was thinking that, you know, probably the thing that helped us get through that moment as a young child is you're confiding in somebody who you trust. Maybe it was a parent that you said, hey, it's Billy said XYZ thing to me. And you're telling your parent, maybe you're telling your uncle, you're telling your grandparent or something like that. And this person is teaching you this phrase, well, we know that words can't hurt us. And then they begin building you up. They begin saying, well, that's not true what so-and-so said. So their words are blessing you and lifting you out of your pit. So words are used for good and for evil. And when we're taking these words from somebody that we know and we trust, we're likely to take them over the word of somebody else or this child who may have been trying to hurt us. All right. Let me see here. Before the word even came to our mouth, before words even come to our mouth, as I said, it begins as a thought. And I have grappled with this on and off, more so several years ago. I haven't really thought about it much since. But I want to do kind of a quick synopsis of this idea of thought. Because thoughts are clearly powerful things. Every action, every word begins as a thought in somebody's mind. The entire genocide in World War II, that whole idea first began as a thought in somebody's mind, and eventually it became an action where a whole group of people were swayed by this thought. And genocide happened as a result. And I used to grapple with, like when I was in college, I grappled with the concept of what is thought? You know, because our brains are made up of matter, you know, there's a substance there. But what is thought itself? It has no substance. It's this thing that floats above our head in the cloud. It has no... You can't quantify what it is, and if you ask a scientist what it is, they'll say, oh, well, it's synapses in the brain that are firing off, and your brain is thinking. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't tell me exactly what thought is. You're telling me the process of how it happens, but you're not telling me what it is. And so even though thought is something that we can't even quantify what it is, it's an extremely powerful thing. And I have contended in kind of my ramblings, my ponderings about thought, that thought is what still connects us to the divine, or part of what still connects us to the divine. It's a strange thing that I still don't have really an answer for. I remember posing the question to one of my professors who was my advisor, and I was like, you know, I just went through that whole spiel with him, and he was a very, like, this is probably the smartest person I know. He's sitting back in his chair, and he's listening, and he's kind of staring at the table, and he's like, some pretty deep thinking for a welder. Because I was obviously a welder before I went to school. And it's like, well, we still don't know what thinking is. We just know it happens. So anyway, thoughts are powerful things. Governments, the devil knows this. Governments for thousands of years have tried to suppress thought. When we think of the Dark Ages and the great effort to suppress the Word of God, to suppress thought, we call them the Dark Ages for that reason.
Thoughts are powerful things. The greatest blessings that have come to this world and the greatest curses that have come to this world all began as a thought and then were uttered into words at some point. Thoughts and ideas are powerful things. Let's go to a scripture reading, if you're not already there. Scripture reading is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10. And I'll probably begin in verse 3. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, I'll begin. And the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God. Arguments themselves are words, they're ideas. If I'm arguing a point, I'm arguing an idea. I am arguing a thought. I'm arguing this thought using words. Arguing an idea, that's what an argument is. Knowledge, it says. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Knowledge is the collection of ideas that we have in our mind about a given topic. Knowledge, ideas. Ideas that are stored up in our mind. And the Bible says that we are to bring, in verse 5, every... So these arguments, and the Bible says to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. What do you think that means? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you, or what do you think it means to bring every thought into the knowledge of Christ or the obedience of Christ? So to be sure that what you're doing, you're acting on is okay in the eyes of God? Yeah, the thought, right? It began as a thought, whatever the action was. Anything else?
Not to dwell on negative thoughts,
right? Any other comments or what it means to you or how you've used this text in your life?
If you want to learn something, learn about Jesus.
Sure. Not dwelling on negative things. Making sure that whatever it is you're thinking about is in harmony with Scripture, the Word of God. Anything else that's meant to you or you how you've used this verse? Review it. So we can broaden the meaning beyond the immediate context. He's immediately talking about the knowledge of God and arguments against God. But we can think of it as not harboring evil thoughts or negative thoughts toward an individual. If you can think of maybe somebody who's wronged you and deeply messed up your life in some way, shape, or form, it's very easy to ruminate on what this person has done and how it's negatively impacted you, your family, your physical well-being, your mental well-being. It's very easy to go down a trail of negative thinking. And so I think the text is broadly, it can admonish us to not to ruminate on negative things. Because if you're ruminating on maybe it is something that someone did to you, you can develop hatred, you can develop all kinds of things out of your thinking, right? And then that hatred can result in what? If you develop so much hatred for an individual, what could be the action of that? Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it could lead to that, but it could be just other vengeful things, whether through our words or whether in action. And so this is a spiritual battle that Paul says that though we walk in the flesh, our war is outside of our flesh. It's a battle of ideas. It's a battle of thoughts. It's a battle of fighting against the knowledge of God and us trying to, you know, sift through different ideas, essentially. It's a spiritual thing, he is saying. Taking every thought, making it obedient to Christ, surrendering the thought to the Lord. Thought itself is a spiritual thing. Many times, I mean, how many of us, we pray in our mind, right? I mean, you don't always just, you're not always on your knees uttering prayers. You're not always in your prayer closet when you're driving down the road. Sometimes you're just thinking and praying, right? So we still communicate with the divine through thought. We still communicate with God through thought. This thing that we can't even explain, yet we can all do. Did you know that if thoughts and words are powerful things, did you know that if you have plants in your house and you tell them pleasant things, that they will flourish better? If you tell them that you're glad to see them, if you tell them kindnesses about them, that they're so beautiful or whatever, did you know that the plant will do better? Did you know that the opposite is true, that if you tell them that they're worthless, that they're good for nothing, that they are ugly, if you use very negative words toward them, it will kill them or they will suffer in some way? Ha! You should try it. Next year, save a row and just talk to the weeds. The problem is your green beans are going to hear, because they'll be in the same row. So anyway, did you know that words can make even plants flourish, and it can also kill them? Did you know that if you play rock music to plants, it will kill them? Rock and roll music, heavy drums and guitars and screaming guitars, and that music, it will actually kill plants. Classical music actually tends to help them grow and flourish. Nick is going to play a video for us. I'm going to need my computer, and I am going to try to narrate. Hold on, let me get the lights off. Is this the right one? Yes. So I hope that you can see. Is there any way to maximize that or no? Okay. So there's going to be some pictures over here that I want you to see, and I'm going to try to narrate, because he gives an example of a bad word and what not to say, and I don't want him to say that in church. But I want you to see the examples of good things that he says. And so go ahead and start it. And he is talking here, and he's talking about this beaker of water. He's talking about a scientist who began just thinking. And he would use this droplet of water, and he would think toward the water. And he started with the word thank you. Just thinking. He was not even, look at that. So when the water was frozen, that's what it looked like after he is just thinking thank you. This word here, I believe, is wisdom. He started using another word, and they were thinking wisdom. This is truth. And after they're thinking these thoughts toward the water, they freeze the water. And this is true of every single language. This is eternity. Every single language they were doing this with, not just English. It was in Japanese. Eternity, I love you. This is what the response of water is to positive thoughts. and even positive words. This is a response of water when we say things. Look at you fool. When we say you fool, it takes on this really ugly thing. And this is these are thoughts and words, and they're writing them down. This is you make me sick. The water actually responds to our thoughts and our words. I don't remember what that one is. Maybe evil. And they did pictures of water before and after prayer, even, and what how it responded to prayer, even. And they look like, obviously, they look like snowflakes. And there's those things over there you can't see. There's thank you, there's compassion, there's really negative terms, you fool, and other negative things that you can't really see. But this is, thank you is a universal, these are all thank you in different languages. I wish you could see, I wish it was a little bigger. But it's in German, and there's these beautiful shapes that it takes on. And so I'll let them get through this, and then we'll turn the lights back on. But these are all thank you in different languages, and what it does to water and how water actually responds. That thoughts affect matter. Thoughts affect water. All right, he's in Hebrew and Polski. There, he's done. Okay, I'm going to turn this back on. And so I hope you're able to see part of that, but the shapes of the water that the water took on when it was frozen after it was spoken or thought, he just started out just thinking thank you, thinking of eternity, thinking of angels, thinking of different things and what it the effect that it had on the water or beautiful, the nice words that we think of. And he summed it up with, on the other side, he said, your body is 70% water. Your brain is 85% water. So when you curse someone, it adversely affects them, but it affects you like 100%, 100 times more than it affects the extra outside source that you may be talking to. So it's affecting the water in our body. So when you send a blessing to someone, it's a positive thing affecting them because it's changing the molecular structure of the water. And also, it has when you're cursing them, it has 100 times worse effect on you. Just your thoughts, right? What they do. It's an amazing thing. Our thoughts, we think they obviously affect us deeply, and we've all experienced this. What happens if you go down a negative thinking path for a long enough time? What happens to you? There's a word that we use in psychology or mental health. If you're on a negative thought process long enough, it sinks us into what? Depression, right? If you thinking or on a more of a positive, he used, heavenly, what I would say biblical language that brought on the most spectacular looks in this experiment. When we bless others, when we think positively, blessing others, we ourselves are blessed. And when we curse others, we ourselves are cursed. The water in our body is negatively impacted by our thoughts and by our words. So this guy in this little experiment that he did, the scientist did, literally confirmed scripture that when you bless others, you yourself are blessed. And when you curse others, you yourself are cursed. And when you think positive heavenly things, your life will be much better, much happier. And when you speak and think in a negative way, your life will be much worse. And it affects even the plants around us. It affects the animals. You ever notice that dogs, I think this is partly why dogs can read people. There's a positive, negative thing that they can still see and read. So when we bless others, we ourselves are blessed. When we curse others or speak negatively of them, we ourselves are cursed. This is why Jesus told us, don't do anything negative or say anything or think anything negative to someone, even if they're harming you. Bless them. Pray for them. Then you yourself will be blessed, he said. It's not just positive thinking. There is a divine component to this. Because the whole power of positive thinking fad, who is the source of your salvation in the power of positive thinking? It's beyond just that. All the words he was using were like, you know, stuff we would see in Scripture. Heaven, angels, thank you is gratitude to God or to a person around us. So if we just take this, oh, I just need to think more positively, then we ourselves can fix ourselves, right? And one of my church members in Rapids actually said that. She said, I was on self-help books for years, but it basically turned me into my own God. And however I was doing or whatever I was doing that day, it was helping or hurting me. And I wasn't depending on God as my source of strength. But there are some principles here. We've all experienced the power of negative thinking. I have experienced the ruminating on past problems, past mistakes. I have experienced that rumination, and it can just be consuming. And it doesn't lead me heavenward. I'm probably more guilty than the rest of you in all of this. But when we think or dwell upon negative things, we're poisoning not only ourselves, we're poisoning the people around us. You think about it that way too. We're affecting the water that makes up their body. So what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Are you taking every thought captive and bringing it into the obedience of Christ, or dismissing it as something that you shouldn't be harboring in your brain or in your body? What are you thinking about? Meditations of the heart. The Bible has much to say about our thoughts. I'm going to wrap up here. We're going to get into the last verse we'll read together about taking every thought captive. But the Bible has so much to say on this topic. Whoever performed this experiment confirmed everything that Scripture tells us to do. And so I thought it was fascinating. The Bible has much to say about our thoughts, taking thoughts captive, focusing on that which is good, blessing others, don't curse other people, don't speak negatively of other people, and what you're taking in. You know, if you're only taking in the negative, how does it make you feel when you watch the news today? Make you feel joyful? Does it make you feel happiness? Does it make you feel closer to God? Okay, so when you're ruminating on all the negative things and you're consuming all the negative things of this world, is it helping you? Do you feel good after watching it? You don't, do you? Because it's just negatively affecting your cells, or the water in your body. David actually said in the Psalms, he said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Scripture tells us, let's go to this famous verse that we all know in Philippians chapter 4. Paul gives us some excellent advice as to where to keep our minds focused in a very negative world. You remember some of those shapes. I wish you could see it. I wish you could have heard him explain it better. The beautiful shapes of just saying thank you. The beautiful shapes of just meditating on wisdom or heaven or angels. Or I wish that Jesus had been on that. I wish he had done an experiment with Jesus to see what those that water turned into. Let's see. All right, Philippians chapter 4, and I'll begin in verse 6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In other words, don't hold on to your fears. Don't hold on to the things that make you so anxious. He says, give them to God. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, this is where it gets spiritual, and I believe that there's more to it. I think it's a blessing to think positively, but I think that the creator of the universe, who put these laws into place, needs to be acknowledged in the process, especially in your prayer life. When you're struggling, you're worried, you're anxious, or whatever, we need to give those things to God, the Bible says. Don't be anxious or fearful or worrisome about anything, but make your request known to God. This is truly a divine miracle. We could dive into this any number of ways. Why does water react that way to positive or negative things? Why? How? How does that happen? To me, it has the fingerprints of a divine creator out there. There's a divine creator that set laws into motion and is saying, this is how the world works. Live in harmony with it and your life will be so much better. But when you transgress or you go against, your life will be this. These are your options. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a divine creator who made and built certain laws into the universe. And when we surrender our lives and our prayers to the Lord, the peace of God fills our hearts in Christ. When we surrender our lives to the creator of the universe, who put these laws into place, our lives are much better. We're happier, we're healthier, we're more at peace. We get to experience the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give to each one of us. That his desire was for that. He said he came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. That's eternal life and a more abundant life here and now. Let's see. Let's finish out this text in Philippians chapter 4. Listen to what Scripture tells us. This is what God has been telling people for thousands of years. Listen to what he says. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true." Truth was one of those things that they just had pictured the word in their brain and thought about truth, and it showed up as this beautiful snowflake, sparkly thing. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true." Also, real quick interjection. How much truth are we getting in the media that makes you so happy? Right? Maybe that's why it doesn't make us happy. Maybe that's why it makes us feel depressed about the condition of the world, because it's showing us everything that's negative. All right. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think about these things." The Bible has been telling us this for forever. This is God's prescription, because thoughts are powerful things. Our words are powerful things. Now we know this little experiment confirmed, this is why God said, operate this way. Confirms the Bible. Truth, noble, pure, some of those words that were on that screen. God made this universe, and when you bless others, when you're thankful, when you've show gratitude, we've known this for a long, long time, that the people who are the most, have the most gratitude in this life, the people who are the most thankful, we know that they tend to be happier, healthier people. Just thank you. Just thinking of the word thank you produced that beautiful shape. So this, to me, I've always thought of this concept as it was a spiritual concept. It's a spiritual thing. The battle we're fighting is a spiritual thing. The reason we focus on positive things, it's a spiritual thing. But God has also tied it to our physical. Isn't that amazing? It's not just spiritual. Everything fits. Our whole composition of our being, our mental state, our physical state, our emotional state, our spiritual state, somehow it's all, God's got it all connected together. It's astounding. It's amazing. There's just fingerprints of the Creator everywhere. And I've seen this effect. We've all seen the effect of praying for someone. I don't have time to tell stories of praying for somebody as they're being wheeled into surgery, terrified, the whole family surrounding them, 18% chance of survival, and she doesn't know how to explain what happened, but post-praying for her, she said, as I was being wheeled through the doors, just the peace of God came over me. Speaking blessing, invoking God, invoking the name of Jesus, it has a spiritual and a literal physical effect on us. When you say thank you, when you say love, when you say angels, it changes us. When you say the word Jesus, he didn't have it on there, but I am positive the name of Jesus would invoke that same response to the water. Meditate on these things, he said. Whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's just. So that we serve an amazing God who created an amazing universe for us. And the Creator put laws into place. And he says, if you live in harmony with these, you'll feel so much better. You'll feel so much better. Your life will be so much better. This is why we hide his word in our hearts. Speak and meditate on all these things that we just read in Philippians chapter 4. When we pray to God, when we think about heavenly things, it literally changes us. Thoughts, while they have no substance, while we still don't even know what they are, look how powerful they are. It's amazing to me. You can have the best day of your life, the worst day of your life, depends on what you choose to think about. Pray. I would invoke the word prayer. Praying to God. When you're thinking about God, positive things, heavenly things, your life and your day can go much better. How many have noticed how much different your day goes when you start the day with prayer and Bible study versus when you don't? Have you noticed the difference? I know I do. There's a difference. When you start your day with Jesus, when you start your day in prayer, there is a difference in how you experience the events of the day versus when you don't. The words that you speak, the things that you think. The day goes far different. Sticks and stones break our bones, and yes, words do hurt you. The things that you think about, the words that you say, they do hurt you. Let me skip down here. After I showed this video to Emily, she had a really beautiful thought on the other side of it. It was, and I don't remember the exact words, but she said something to the tune of, think of every time it snows. Are those the thoughts of our Creator toward us? He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of good, thoughts of peace, not of evil. So while we Wisconsinites, you know, I'm a Michigander, but, you know, I live here. I'm familiar with snow, and while we complain about the snow, you look at the flakes, and it's like, how are those being formed the way that they're being formed? Is our Creator God, is this just the blessing of God being poured out upon us, and we can now see it that way? We can praise God for His thoughts toward us, that they're thoughts of peace, thoughts of good. Not only did God show us in the person of Jesus Christ how He feels about every single one of us, but every time it rains and snows, we experience His thoughts, His blessing on each one of our lives. Showering us, the Bible says that God sends rain on the just and on the unjust. When you think of, as I said, when you think of these things, think of God's blessing and His showering His thoughts on us, thoughts of good. And thinking of what God has given to us, while sin has obviously greatly negatively impacted, the Lord in Jesus Christ made a way of salvation for all of us. We see that in His life and we experience the ongoing blessings that the Lord has given to us. Fixing our eyes, the Bible tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That was supposed to be our call to worship. Let the meditations of my heart, the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. We do this in our thoughts, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So what are you thinking about? What are the meditations of your heart? What words are you speaking toward others and yourself? Blessings, curses? Which is it? How many want to enjoy the abundant life, the blessing of the abundant life that Jesus came to give to us? Amen? Let's pray and ask God to live in us, to bless others. Let's meditate on that which is good, true, noble, and honest. In doing so, we'll bless the world around us, but ourselves in the process. Let's pray together. Kind Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for the words of Scripture that you have told us for so long and that we have accepted by faith, that, Lord, your words have meaning, they're powerful, and we've accepted by faith that this was the right way and the right thing to do for our life, in our lives, but now we actually see in nature why and what it does, the negative impact that thoughts and words have, or the positive impact. So we're so thankful, Lord, that the further we can look into science, the more we see your fingerprints all over this universe. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word that guides us and illuminates our thoughts and minds and draws us heavenward. And we're thankful for all that you have created for us to enjoy. And Lord, we just pray that the meditations of our heart would be of good things, that we could share the good news of salvation, not just good words and kind words, but that it would lead to, you know, that we would share the wonderful news of salvation that our benevolent Creator has offered to us. We love you, Lord. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for each other. And we just pray that you would just bless us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.